In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Really a dramatic and interesting story on so many levels here, with this Gadarene man possessed by a legion of unclean spirits. I'd like to contrast his life before and after meeting Jesus, and maybe see what message and what lesson he offers to you and to me. His life under the influence of these unclean spirits was like this. He lived among the tombs. He was uncivilized, unable to be calmed. He cut himself with stones. He cried out into the night, and nothing could constrain him. His life was one marked by chaos, turmoil, self-harm, incessant noise, visuals of death, a complete lack of inner peace. No effort could constrain him as he ran amok. After his encounter with Jesus, we have a totally different atmosphere. It's like when you've been working around machinery or you've been in heavy traffic and suddenly it stops. And you realize you've forgotten how quiet can be. That's what happens here. After our man's encounter with Jesus, we find him seated. That's already a change. No longer running amok, but seated. He's clothed, and that means more than just what he's wearing. He's clothed in calm. He's clothed in quiet. He's clothed in grace. And it says, and he's in his right mind. He's finally able to think clearly. You know, so much is conveyed in this brief description. Seated, clothed, and in his right mind. It's like all at once the chaos ceased. And it's in this calm that this man experiences God, possibly for the first time. Experiences God directly in the person of Jesus. Now, it might be tempting to see this fellow's earlier condition as an aberration, as an exception to ordinary existence, kind of this freaky one-off, and certainly nothing to do with my own life. But before we let ourselves think that, let's take a look in our cultural mirror. Remember, this man's life was marked by chaos and self-harm and incessant noise and visuals of death and a lack of inner peace and running amok. It sounds a little bit like 21st century America. I mean, aren't we lured to do the same thing with our overscheduled chaotic lives? The incessant noise of TV and YouTube and TikTok and a bombardment of visuals, maybe not necessarily of death, but certainly inane ridiculousness. And our self-harm might not come from stones, but it's certainly there in eating too much and drinking too much and too much stress and worrying and planning and obsessing and overcommitting ourselves to do. And we do ourselves into madness, if not an early grave. This man cutting himself with stones is nothing compared to the way we're all pretty good at beating up ourselves. Where and when are we supposed to encounter God in all that? Now, for the man in the gospel, there was a cost in finding peace at the feet of Jesus. In his case, the cost was a whole herd of pigs. And now, before you feel too sorry for the pig farmers, remember, pig farming was against Jewish law. In healing this fellow, Jesus also managed to shut down an illegal business. But the bigger point was, to find peace, something had to be surrendered. Something had to be given up. If we want the peace of God, we too will have to surrender something. Now, for one person, that might mean taking something out of their schedule. For another person, it might mean shutting off those God-forsaken screens for an hour or two or three. And for another person still, it might mean a substantial life change. But if my spirit has run amok, something will have to be surrendered in order to find peace. And when that bit of chaos finally has been surrendered, when your 21st century pigs have fled into the sea, what then? What takes its place? Can you indeed encounter God in that gap? For our fellow in the gospel, it meant sitting with Jesus in quiet. What about for you and me? Actually, it's the same answer. Same answer, to sit with Christ in quiet. When we think of praying, we often think of saying certain words to God. You know, prayer is words, whether out loud or silently in the mind and the heart. Praying for us most of the time means saying words to God. And while that's good and vital, there is more to prayer than just saying words. First of all, there's listening. And even more essential to prayer, there is quiet meditation. When we read and pray the Psalms, it's amazing how often they mention meditation. The Psalms say things like, "On God's word I meditate day and night. Meditate in your heart, even on your beds. I meditate during the night watches. I will meditate on all God's wonderful works. May my meditation be pleasing to him. I will meditate on your glorious splendor. I meditate on your wonders and rejoice." You know, that's just seven examples out of dozens, and that's just from the Psalms. In our prayers, we proclaim the grace of meditation. But how often do we stop and actually meditate? How often do we sit in quiet in the presence of God, taking the time to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit, even if just for a few minutes? St. Simeon, the new theologian, says that the purest prayer is actually prayer without words. No images even, he says. It's a heart open to the presence of God. Pure prayer is simply your heart open to the presence of God. And it may take years, decades even, before a person can pray that way all the time. But every single one of us, we all start as a novice. If a person were to set aside even 3 minutes a day for finding quiet, you know, sit in a quiet place, close the eyes and bow the head, focus on your breathing as the Holy Fathers teach, and let your thoughts just kind of fade behind you as you focus on your breath. Start with just 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes. It does take dedication and practice for that inner quiet to come. But with 3 minutes a day, it will. And with practice, the quiet will come sooner than you think. And one day, not too long from now, in that quiet will come the silent whisper of God, the still voice of Christ, the whispered breath of the Holy Spirit. The man with the unclean spirits led a life, really a half-life, a cursed life of chaos and incessant noise and running amok and turmoil and self-harm. And encountering Jesus, this man became whole again, seated, clothed, and in his right mind. And most importantly, he was in the presence of God. And I guess the question facing us is, are we 21st century Americans that different than he was? Are we any less crazy than the life he led? The cure is the same for both of us, to surrender the noise, to surrender the chaos, to surrender our 21st century pigs, and make time daily to quietly meditate on the wonders of God, even starting with the simplicity of our own life-giving breath. And in those quiet moments, perhaps we will begin to hear that silent whisper of God. Amen.